SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Off and running, hour number two here on Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Friday to you as we say goodbye to February and we welcome in the madness that is March, because it will be here as the final couple of weeks of the regular season, conference tournaments, and then, of course, the tournament. March Madness will be here, not to mention the final stretch run here in the NHL and NBA, as the playoffs will also be just around the corner. So a little something for everybody over these next couple of weeks. And don't get me started. Yes, Major League Baseball spring training underway. Opening day also just about a month away. So a lot going on here, including some interesting spots here tonight. Let's welcome in our good friend Tom Vecchio. And Tom, we got just three NHL games, some decent games, though, in the NHL tonight. Loaded slate in the NBA. But we got this Ranger and Maple Leaf game getting ready for the puck to drop. It feels like goals might be coming here tonight. But if there are, who are we betting on here tonight with these two teams?
Yeah, let's jump right into it for the Leafs. Let's go to William Nylander, one of the best goal scorers. He's a proven 40-goal scorer. I will say he is plus 155, which I saw on DraftKings. They have a 50% boost, so you can jump him up to plus 233, which I think is just objectively a good price. Now, he hasn't scored in a couple games since they returned from the Four Nations break. It's a great price for a proven goal scorer, so I like that. I also like the Leafs' money line. The Rangers put their top defender, Adam Fox, on IR. They're just really banged up. They will have some of the players that were game-time decisions. They will be playing tonight, but the Leafs are a solid team overall. And then turning to Colorado real quick, Val Nichushkin for them, over 2.5 shots on goal. He recently came back. He played on Wednesday. That was his first game since December 31st. If we look back to December, he had at least 2 shots on goal in 11 of the 13 games. He had 5 shots on Wednesday. So he gets this number. He's live for it every time he's on the ice. He plays on the second power play unit. A really good spot overall. I will also say tomorrow there's an outdoor game. We have Detroit visiting Columbus. They are playing at the University of Ohio. It's obviously going to be a big spectacle. That number was 5.5. It has moved up to 6 or 6.5. I'm on the over 5.5. It was juiced at minus 130 or so. I would absolutely play the 6. The 6.5 we can talk about tomorrow when we're doing in-game live at noon, but absolutely grab the 6.
Liking the 6 in that spot there. I just feel here tonight, too, with some of these games. You feel like you're going to get goals early here with Toronto and the Rangers. You mentioned Colorado and the rich get richer. To get Nichushkin back at this point in the season and make a run to the playoffs is hilarious as Colorado doing it. But it feels like with both starting goalies in net here, it feels like an under. I mean, Minnesota's not winning a shootout against anybody, but they can certainly play enough defense and get some goaltending to keep this thing, 3-1, 4-1, that kind of thing, Tom?
Yeah, that's the issue. I talked about this with Mike Carver on NHL Today earlier today, where Minnesota played last night in Utah. You know, on a back-to-back, flying into altitude at Denver is never an easy thing to do. So to see Colorado win this game 4-1, 5-1, if you have under 6.5, it's 5.5, depending on where you have. Like, they can win this game 4-1. Minnesota just doesn't have the offense, especially with Kaprizov still out. So I've never been worried about Minnesota's offense. Their defense can certainly keep them in games, but I just don't think they'll have the legs later in the third period, especially.
I don't know what that team total for total goals for Minnesota is, but I'm betting the under, whatever it is. Also, talk to me here about this Dallas and Kings game. I can't get over the amount of Kings money that came in today to push this down. I mean, this opened 150, 160, it looked like, for Dallas, and it's been nothing but Kings money here. Either way, it feels. Why are we not betting the under with these two, with Kemper and Ottinger here? What am I missing?
Yeah, Ottinger has had some rough games, especially this game at Columbus a couple days ago, the side of the Four Nations break. So I assume that's where some of the Kings money came in. But this game's all about the under. This is like a true Western Conference late season type of matchup. We got the trade deadline next Friday, the 7th. So these teams need to, you know, solidify where they are. The Kings are a feisty team that like to play a lot of defense and generally don't get into high scoring back and forth games. So the unders to play, listen, if either team wins, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Dallas is the better team overall. And if you get them at a better number compared to where they were earlier today, that's certainly the spot to go. But just give me the under.
All right, we got a massive slate in the NBA. Some great games here, but one that's getting ready to go, Denver and Detroit. We did learn, of course, Aaron Gordon ruled out in this one. Second of a back-to-back to Denver. I'm now seeing Detroit minus -2 at home. This used to be a walk in the park for teams. It's not a walk in the park anymore here. But do we trust Detroit here to handle business at home?
Probably not. And it really doesn't have to do with the Aaron Gordon news, for me at least. Detroit's, I've said it before, they're having a great season. They deserve a lot of credit. Like, 8-game win streak, whatever, 7-8 game win streak, whatever it is at this point, like, that's going to run dry at a certain point. And, you know, getting the Denver at such a short number, I think, is the spot to go. So I would take Denver, and I am on the under already. Like, there's just not going to be that many points, or there shouldn't be that many points tonight.
I agree. And then, of course, you got the Cavs and the Celtics. Jaylen Brown in, Porzingis out, still no Holiday, but the rest of the cast of characters available at home. I don't think the Celtics are just going to go back-to-back loss. I mean, they got embarrassed in that Detroit game. It wasn't a great spot for them, but they might have just been looking a little bit ahead to this spot anyway here. What do you think we're going to get in this one tonight?
Yeah, that's what I was feeling looking at this, like, Cavs. Again, Detroit, great season for them, but, like, this is an important matchup for the Celtics. This is, like, an Eastern Conference preview that we could be having. So, Jaylen Brown, over 5.5 rebounds. I am feeling a late-season game. I want to see a true playoff-type environment. None of these scores that end 140 to 130. We don't want that time. We want a close game that's, like, the 117 to 112 kind of range, somewhere around there, like, a truly competitive game. And that means Jaylen Brown doing a little bit more on the boards, over 5.5 rebounds. He's had at least 6 rebounds in 6 out of his last 10 games. I like this spot for the Celtics to show that, like, yeah, they can have a rough loss, whatever it might be, against the Pistons the other night. And also, the Cavs, they're on a massive win streak. So I do like these massive win streak teams in the Eastern Conference, the Cavs and the Pistons, to both lose tonight. I think Jaylen Brown plays a big part, at least doing something other than scoring, just because I'm not expecting a whole lot of points overall.
We did see Karl Anthony Towns has been ruled starting here tonight for the Knicks. That's good news. They're still getting 3.5 points on the road in Memphis. I don't love this matchup for the Knicks because they're not playing any defense, Tom. Not a good team to not play any defense against here. What do you think we get?
You know, this is an interesting spot. You know, we did the Knicks-Celtics game last Sunday when the Knicks just don't win against good teams. Towns is in. You know, you could take the line is what it was. You have it at a better spot. I think the points is just where it goes. We're going to see scoring time. Whether who's in or who's out, the points will be there. We know that the Grizzlies like to run up to score. They could drop 130 on them, you know, by themselves. They could basically push this game. I'm going to say do 75% of the work and push it over. And even if the Knicks aren't efficient on offense, they're still going to get to 110 points. And we're going to be at that number. So it's about the points tonight. I don't think the Knicks cover, but if the line movement, if you weren't on already, I wouldn't get in on it at this point.
Yeah, there is, and real quick, you got a battle of LA, Lakers, second of a back-to-back. You trust them?
I don't. I don't trust them. Maybe the scoring comes early and often for the Clippers, and they will cover if we're not sure if LeBron's going to play, Luka, et cetera, et cetera. But I would still just look to the Clippers in the spot. They need to start picking up some better quality wins.
I agree. Tom, we appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. As we wrap up the month of February together, we get ready for March, but not before we get some great action on the hardwood here tonight, both college and the NBA. And the good news is coming up top of next hour, you will have Scotty Wetzel and the in-game live crew, who will have dibs on all of these games for you, including the Celtics and the Cavs, which, Scotty, is going to be the game of the night. We all know this. We know no Porzingis tonight, no Holiday, but Tatum back in the lineup along with Jaylen Brown and the rest of the cast of characters here. Horford also available tonight, but you and I were just talking off air. I keep seeing the total getting pushed up 233.5, 233. At what point do we start playing playoff style basketball and not this Olay stuff that we got from teams early on here? How did you approach this game?
Yeah, you know, I thought about the over just because they're two strong over teams, especially Cleveland, right? But then I looked at the scores, Joe. They played three times. Celtics have beat them twice. None of the games were like the 125-120 thought that you know, you would normally get with two teams that are strong over teams. So I think every single time they play, you know, Cleveland was stretching their lead when Boston had a point to prove. And I think it's the same thing here. It's a big game, right? I mean, if the Celtics – listen, they're not going to catch Cleveland for the number one seed, right? It's the Cavaliers. But if you end up taking three out of four from Cleveland, it's kind of like reassuring the notion that, listen, no one's beating Boston in a best of seven, no matter what the scores are. So I stayed away from the over-under. Listen, the Celtics won an NBA championship last year without Porzingis for the most part in the postseason. He missed most of the games. Yep. They can certainly beat Cleveland. You're getting them maybe 1.5 in some circles. I know it opened up. I saw 2.5. Then it went down to 2. Then I saw 1.5. But you want to give me the world champs at home in a statement type of game? Basically, pick them odds, wounded or not, give me the Boston Celtics tonight, Joe.
I hope you're sitting down, Scotty, because I don't know if you heard. Embiid is calling it a year. Yeah, I know. I was blown away, too. I was absolutely blown away by that. But in other good news, Anthony Edwards is suspended. That was always good to hear. After he gets tossed again last night. Now the Timberwolves have to go from L.A. to Utah to take on the Jazz tonight, and they're going to have to do it without, guess who, Anthony Edwards. So what do we do here tonight? Isn't this usually the spot where we take and we just run and bet the Timberwolves?
This is it, man. By the way, you know, when you told me what's next after Embiid being out, what are you going to tell me? Anthony Davis is going to be hurt? I mean, shocking news from the NBA, right? That'll be the latest. Yeah, I tell you what, Joe, you talk about a team owning a team, right? And Utah's been down the last couple of years. Minnesota's been basically mediocre. In the last 2 years, they really kind of picked up their play. But it's been about an even series, right? 19-4 is Minnesota, Joe, ooh, against the spread at Utah, including 11-1. I mean, that goes back several years. I mean, I don't know why Minnesota has owned this series, but they clearly have. Utah's awful, right? We know that. 5-19, last 24. We've seen 1,000 times these teams step up. Now, they probably got no Rudy Gobert again. He's been out for a little while. So no Anthony Edwards, you stay away from them. I tell you what, I can't. And that line jumped from 2.5 to 4.5, even though Edwards isn't going to play tonight. People see that trend. I'm going to take a fly. You went 19-4 on the road, not at home. 11-1, last 12, in fact. Give me Minnesota. I'll take my chances. They find a way to get a win.
Yeah, it kind of hard to look anyplace else other than there. But what about, Scotty, and we keep talking about this team, they play absolutely no defense. We just saw this, 24 hours ago with Phoenix and New Orleans. What are we going to get that was any different than what we just saw here? Total down to 229.5. Now, Beal didn't play last night, I believe, but I think he's scheduled to play here tonight. But then again, who knows? You just never know here with the NBA. But how'd you approach this one tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you and I did the show yesterday, and I said, if Phoenix loses this game, that's it. I'm done writing them off completely, right? And what do? They actually lose, right? So I'm going to go one more time, Joe. This is the last chance. If the Phoenix Suns, after losing last night to arguably one of the worst teams in the NBA, just atrocious in the world, they don't know if they're coming or going. If they don't come out flying this first quarter, so I don't play first quarters or even half times very often, but give me the Phoenix Suns. runs, laying 2.5 first quarter after that embarrassing display last night. If they don't come out flying tonight, then it's just like, wow, you might as well just end the season. So a rare first quarter play for us tonight.
I agree. I'm with you here, Scotty. Like, put up a shut-up time here for Phoenix. But who'd have thunk it, right? Spending all that money doesn't necessarily buy you anything but a headache here. I am seeing Grayson Allen and Bradley Beal now listed as doubtful. So that should be fun. Have a good time there, Phoenix. My goodness. The good news is, though, we got maybe an opportunity to finally bet against the Lakers. Do you have enough gumption to do that? Second of a back-to-back, a rested Clippers team that looks to have Norman and Kawhi Leonard back in the lineup tonight, and the market seems to think this is the spot to back the Clippers.
Yeah, you know, something's up, right, Joe? Luka's probably not playing because the Lakers last night, I look at these lines at night, they were 1.5-point favorites. And I was like, wow, okay, you know what? Give me the Lakers at home, you know, 1.5. What are you kidding me? And then I wake up and I look at the line, and now I see that they're 4-point underdogs. So either Luka's not playing or LeBron or maybe both aren't playing. But otherwise, the Lakers would be favorites in this game, right? So before you put any bet in, I would absolutely make sure you see who's playing. Lakers been on a nice little under run. Clippers been awful on the road, but maybe under 220.5. But I would see who's playing this game before you put any money down.
Yeah, I mean, I got a feeling, and it they both might not play in this game here tonight. How's that? So, all right, plenty in the NBA. We got some college basketball to talk about, some games coming up here tonight. We'll do it when Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Neri alongside Scotty Wetzel. We'll pass the baton off to him coming up top of the hour for In Game Live, as Scotty and the crew will have you covered with everything that's going on the hardwood here tonight. Couple games in the NHL, one of them underway right now with the Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, hoping for some goals in that one. And sure enough, Toronto is already on the board, 1-0 in that game there. But we got plenty, Scotty, coming up in college basketball. We got 133 very important games tomorrow in college hoops. We had 24 here tonight. But, you know, for a lot of these mid-major schools, we got some, you know, the Sun Belt is going to be in full focus. I know JMU playing here tonight, Sun Belt's final regular season game before they start their tournament this week. What are you looking at here tonight? You back in JMU?
Yeah, you know, listen, I know this line's got Sucker Joe written all over it, right? But, someone's going to have to explain to me. James Madison, for those that don't know, in first place in the Sun Belt. They need one more win to win the division or win the conference outright, right? So there's incentive to play tonight, final game of the regular season. They're 13-4, 20-10 overall, and they're taking on a Texas State team that's 15-15, 8-9, playing for nothing. You know, they're not going anywhere. They're in the conference tournament postseason, obviously, but they're not playing for anything. And I'm getting the best team in the conference and basically pick them, albeit on the road. Getting a point and a half, maybe laying a point and a half, depending on where you do your shopping, but give me James Madison. If they end up losing to Texas State, then I'll just say, all right, the boys in Vegas fooled me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to be a winner-take-all kind of situation there. I expect that one to be actually a pretty darn good game. Listen, I don't trust Matt Painter. You and I have had this conversation a million times. Yeah. The one thing you can trust is UCLA crying about flying east, and at the Mackey Arena, more times than not, I'll back Purdue at home. It's a tough place to play. They should win this game tonight, right, Scott?
They should. I'm going to go with the under, but I do like them. If you told me I had to pick a side, then they would be the side. UCLA is just one of those every game under teams for me. They're pretty good. On the road, they're not nearly as good under-wise as they are at home. Purdue is actually a halfway decent over team, especially at home. So it does kind of trend-wise lead toward the unders. But overall, you know, I like UCLA. I like the team. Love Mick Cronin. You know, I don't know if you saw the press conference. I think it was earlier this week. He basically told the media that's been bitching about him, you know, being too tough on his kids. Just basically just like, you know what, too bad. I don't care. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I can appreciate a guy like that. You know what? You can go ahead and cry all you want. I care about the kids, their future, not just what we're going to do next week. So, but point being, I'll go with the under just because I play UCLA unders, and you know they're not going to want Purdue to get up and down the court. And I've always said I think it's easier for a team to slow down a fast-paced team than it is a fast-paced team to speed up a slow-paced team.
Yeah, I don't even mind the first half under in that one there, Scotty, and let them impose their will a little bit. I can't trust Iowa. I don't care where it is. They are getting, but they've gotten the money. This was five this morning. I'm seeing fours now, Scotty. So somebody's they're betting Iowa here like they know something. What do you think?
Yeah, not me. Now, give me Northwestern. Mm-hmm. They're at home. Cats have actually won two in a row. You know that they beat up Ohio State two games ago, 70-49. I don't know how that one came about, but then they followed it up with another victory right after that. So Northwestern's played some decent ball at times this year. You said it, Joe, but Iowa. Once they lost their main guys, they have lost 3, 6, 9. They've lost 9 of their last 12 games. 3-9 their last 12. 5.5, 4.5, whatever you end up getting. You know what? I think it's a pretty good play at Northwestern.
Yeah, and listen, it was a close one. I think Iowa was a buzzer kind of thing. 80-79, they won the first game, Scotty, between these two teams. Yes. Northwestern at home has a little revenge, no less, which is interesting. And you're going with the Zips tonight? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah. Yes, I again, another line that's kind of strange. I'm getting Akron, best team in the MAC. They got 3 games left. They still haven't clinched the number one seed. They need to get some wins here. They're at home. Kent State's a pretty good team, don't get me wrong, but I got the best team by far. Only 1 loss, 14-1 in conference play, laying only 3.5 at home. Sign me up.
All right, if it ain't broke, we ain't fixing it. That's what I'm hearing there. Scotty Wetzel, always a pleasure, man. We're going to see you here top of the hour for In-Game Live. Enjoy it as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Friday here as we get ready to say goodbye to February. March will be here before we know it. And the countdown is on, not only to March Madness, but the very first major on the PGA Tour will be here before you know it at Augusta, Georgia. In the meantime, the Florida swing is underway. I know this, well, because I've been there the last couple of days here at the Cognizant Classic. And I know Brady Cannon is well aware of that. And look at this, Brady. Jake Knapp did not shoot 59 again today. What a absolute shock. He did shoot 70, 1 under. He is currently 1 stroke better than Matty Pavone, who had a great round here today. Made a lot of, he was throwing darts out there. But some of the early favorites, Daniel Berger, 11 under par. The bottom line is, after a guy shoots 59 to start the tournament, yeah, he ain't running away with anything. There's a lot of guys in contention in this tournament so far. And the weather, they say, maybe the worst of it is still to come here.
Yeah, we are expecting possibly more breezes. I still don't think it's going to be too crazy. You never know. You know very well, Joe, you've been out there. I think it's about 7 miles or so from the coast. And when you're in a location like that, it can turn on a dime. But, you know, the forecast still calling for pretty benign conditions. Maybe Sunday, the worst, where we get some gusts up to 20 miles an hour. But that remains to be seen. Yeah, Jake Knapp, no surprise. I predicted he would shoot 2 under par. I missed by one. He shot one under. It's so hard to come back. I mean, think about that. You have a career round like that. You're not going to go back to back. And it looked like the course got a little more difficult for just about everybody today. Yep. You know, the old Honda Classic showed up for a minute here today. It wasn't quite as easy as it appeared it was on Thursday. But, you know, I think Knapp is still in a good position, Joe. He's 13th in this field for strokes gained off the tee, 25th on approach, 16th in putting. He's 6th in driving accuracy. I mean, that's all really solid. Nothing jumps off the page as like really lousy or so good that you expect it to regress. He's just moving along quite nicely.
He's doing very well. But now by coming back to the field a little bit, he's opened the door for a lot of guys. And I got to tell you, I could not have been more impressed. I got to follow him for a couple of holes. Ricky Fowler, very comfortable at this golf course. He's won here. I love what I'm seeing with the irons. He's got the flat stick working. Not a lot not to like with Ricky. And let's face it, him being in contention is a good thing for this tournament and for some eyeballs over this weekend. And he's probably still a pretty good number. And why not Ricky Fowler?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you, Joe. He was absolutely a guy that I identified with in looking at this board after two rounds as who might be live. And I'm kicking myself a little bit because I thought long and hard about making him a play pre-turn. Mm. And I ended up just holding off because his current form, I wasn't sold. But I also felt that, you know, he arrives at this property, it's near and dear to his heart. He could flip a switch and all of a sudden start playing well. And sure enough, that has turned out to be true. He's 14-1 right now to win this thing going into the weekend. Fourth in this field for strokes gained off the tee. That's really good. This is a difficult golf course off the tee. He's 20th on approach, 10th in driving accuracy, and 27th for putting. I kind of like his numbers even better than Jake Knapp, and he's kind of lurking there. Obviously, we're getting a better price. A guy that has had great experience at this track, probably knows it better than Jake Knapp certainly does. I don't think Ricky's a bad play at all at this point.
And then, of course, you've got longtime champion. I think this was at Mirasol the last time Zach Johnson won. but Zach Johnson, all of a sudden now, 10 under par, back-to-back 66. And I kid you, but again, it's always good to get the old guys involved when you don't have a lot of the young guns on tour here. But it's good to have names like, you know, Jordan Spieth kind of collapsed at the end here today. But, you know, there are some very familiar names at the top of this leaderboard, which I think will serve us very well come this weekend, certainly at the price point that we're looking at right now.
Maybe the most celebrated Ryder Cup captain of all time, Zach Johnson, right? Well, you know, it shocked me. I'm sitting here watching the leaderboard at work today, and all of a sudden Zach appears up there, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, out of nowhere. But you know, this is the age-old recipe, Joe, that we don't have a lot of faith in going forward, okay? 48th in this field off the tee, 65th on approach, and the putter is basically is his life support system right now. He's 4th in this field in strokes gained putting. So, again, 48th off the tee, 65th on approach, and he's making every putt he looks at. That is not likely to sustain. And I don't want to go down that road with Zach Johnson. I didn't even, you know, when getting ready for this little spot to talk about this tournament, I just glanced right over him. I mean, he's headed towards Augusta because, of course, he's got a lifetime membership there. That'll end, you know, maybe in the next 15 years or so. And pretty soon he's going to be headed for the Champions Tour. And maybe, I don't know. Apparently he's still got some game in the bag, but I don't expect this to last for Zach Johnson over the weekend.
I thought for sure we were going to be looking after yesterday's scores, and it annoys me to no end how they wussified one of the top five most difficult courses on tour every year. And you got guys going out shooting 59 and 63s like it's nothing at this game. It drives me absolutely crazy, Brady. But 13, I thought we were going to be over 20 under in this tournament. I'm not convinced that we're going to get there anymore, especially if we can count on periods of that wind blowing here, especially on Sunday at the Bear Trap. So I saw a lot more balls in the water today with the wind, and it wasn't even that crazy. What wins this tournament, and how far down the board should we be looking?
Yeah, great question. You know, I thought the lead today would be at 14, and we're actually a little bit less than that. One shot at 13. The winning score proposition bet out here in Las Vegas pre-tournament was 15 and a half under par. Now, I do think we'll eclipse that. Let's see, we're at 13 now. We've got 2 days left to go, maybe a little. I'd sure love to have 17 or 18 in pocket right now. I'd really love to have 18. I was thinking about that earlier today, looking at my guy, Jonathan Vegas, who's been going along pretty well. Shot 68, 67. If he continues along that trend with a 66 and a 65, he gets to 18. And I was thinking to myself, I'd take 18 under with Johnny Vegas right now. I'm certainly going to cash a top 20 finish. That could possibly get him into a playoff. Again, I'd love to have any of my guys with 18 right now. I think that's got a good shot to be your winning score here. And you alluded to it. It's amazing the last couple of years. Now we know one of these long par fours has been converted to a par five. So that's going to add some shots right there for sure. But, you know, the average winning score of this tournament used to be single digits. Now the last 3 years, we're looking at 14, 17 last year, and I think we're going to get to 18 this year. That would be the score I would want. And as far as how deep down the board, I could see a 6-under possibly, but I'd be more comfortable as far as betting. I probably wouldn't want to go past 7 or 8. You know, 6, a guy could go nuts, and we might get another number if the weather behaves and the guy gets out early or something. Maybe one of those guys at 6 can make a move. But as far as betting going forward, I'd be looking at the guys no lower than 7 and 8.
Yeah, Jonathan Vegas, former champ, guys knows that course.
Oh, he's played really well here. He's made the cut 9 out of 10 times, you know. So Fowler, Michael Kim, I think, is in a really good position. Ben Griffin, Jake Knapp, and J.J. Spahn. I don't think Berger or Pavon are going to make it. Those are the guys I'd be going against, Joe.
Yeah, and, you know, when you got guys like Sepp Straka at 8-under par hanging around, Keith Mitchell also knows his course very, very well.
Absolutely.
There is a lot of golf left here. Woo, a lot of golf left. Brady, we appreciate it as always. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Neri. Appreciate you stopping by with us here as we are often running across the board some 24 games on the college hardwood here today, with a couple of games getting ready to start top of the hour. We've talked about a few of these games, including UCLA at Purdue at the Mackey Arena there. Purdue trying not to lose, what, 5 straight? Trying to get it done here. UCLA not great on the road, has been pretty good at home. And then, of course, Iowa, too, where the wheels have completely fallen off, taking on Northwestern. That is coming up in the 9 p.m. hour. In the meantime, NBA action off and running. How about them Denver Nuggets? Denver Nuggets came out and said, I don't care about your 8-game winning streak, Detroit. It's 39-36 right now. It's a pretty good game going on. Clearly, there are going to be points and maybe a little less defense in this game. Portland and Brooklyn also underway right now, as is the Celtics and the Cavs, and it looks like the Celtics off to a 5-0 lead there. Oklahoma City taking on Atlanta. They were laying a big number, and they, too, are off and running early in that one. And, of course, we did have some news earlier today regarding the NFL. And wouldn't you know it, he can't go away. He just can't get enough of New York. And that being Aaron Rodgers, who is now being reported that maybe he's just going to stay at MetLife and switch locker rooms. Because it appears, now that we learned earlier today, Matt Stafford has restructured his contract. He is going to stay with the Rams. And there was a big conversation about the Rams trading and working out a deal with the Giants about going to get Matt Stafford and working a deal out, but it looks like Matt Stafford staying with the Rams, which means now the Giants are in no better spot this year than they are in any place else. So the idea that Aaron Rodgers has apparently picked up the phone and has showed some interest is going to be very interesting. Could you imagine Aaron Rodgers staying in New York, only this time putting on a Giants jersey instead of a New York Jets? Wow. Well, he can't be any worse than he was for the Jets in New York. There's always that Giants, but it makes things very interesting now for the Giants. What they have said, listen, we have no interest in, they need a future quarterback and everybody knows that. But are they going to be able to get one in this draft that they want? And if you go out and get a rookie quarterback, guess what? You're not winning a whole lot of games again. And it doesn't sound like the Giants are interested in trusting the process, so to speak. So the idea that maybe, well, just maybe, they could find a little bit of patchwork over the next year or so and be in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. It makes some sense with Stafford not on the field, provided you think that Aaron Rodgers can still be motivated enough to play. I mean, he's coming off career worst numbers, losses. He lost 12. His passing yard attempts was down. His passer rating was at a career worst with the New York Jets. Now, granted, the Jets are about as dysfunctional as they come, but this is also the Giants we're talking about that traded away what should have been the MVP of the season and a big part of the reason why the Eagles are world champions right now. And they did it with a smile, like they actually thought Danny Dimes was going to take care of everything. That is not the case. There is a level of dysfunction with both of those New York franchises that maybe Aaron Rodgers could not just take out one New York team. He could take out both New York teams. It's going to be interesting to see where he lands, but I love the fact that Stafford is staying put. I think that is good. I like this Rams team. I think that with him under center, I think good things can happen for the Rams here. Restructures the contract, so allows them to go out and spend a little bit more money and let's face it, protect him maybe a little bit more, get a couple of weapons in there, build up that defense that's very young. I think the Rams are pretty good. And let's not forget, they were just a couple of plays away from actually beating the Eagles during that NFC divisional round. So I don't think they're as far away as some people may have thought. It's not a teardown situation with the Rams, and the fact that you're bringing back a 37-year-old quarterback that wants to be there, I like it. But all that means is that now the Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnolds of the world, boy, those bridge veteran quarterbacks, there's going to be a lot to discuss between now and draft day with those guys still on the market and still available. So, yeah, it's just when you thought you could shell the NFL, Aaron Rodgers to the rescue here, folks, who is now calling and begging and faxing the New York Giants and saying, please consider, I'd like to come and play for you. And if we know anything about Aaron Rodgers, is that, yeah, he definitely holds grudges. And the idea that he could stay in New York in the same building for the Giants and stick it to the Jets, it does not get any better than that. So stick around. We'll see exactly what happens there. But the draft will be here before you know it. And is there a franchise quarterback that either of those two New York teams can actually invest in this draft and maybe be the future? I don't think this is a great quarterback draft here. It's going to be very interesting to see who ends up going with that number one pick. All right, coming up, we have updates from TD Garden in Boston with the champs, the Celtics, taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. And oh, by the way, somebody needs to tell Cleveland, the game has already started. It would help if they started playing Also, the Nuggets and Pistons in a big battle right now. This game is getting real good. We'll have a rundown of all the scores as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. The final Game Time Decisions of February 2025 as we welcome in March tomorrow, and the madness will soon be upon us. 133 college basketball games tomorrow on tap with a ton on the line for top 25 teams, and you won't have to wait too long to get it going as Kentucky at home will be taking on number one Auburn, and they'll be getting 5.5 points currently right now. A big battle in the SEC. Florida also off a loss against Georgia at home, taking on a very wounded and dangerous Texas A&M team that has now lost three games in a row, including a couple at home. So now they've got to go to Gainesville and take on a pretty ticked off Florida team. We got a lot of great action tomorrow. The Big East, Creighton and Xavier are going to be getting ready to do battle. A little something for everyone. Meaningful college basketball as we kick off the month of March tomorrow. But in the meantime, the NBA front and center here tonight. And the game of the night is turning to be, well, anything but. I had mentioned that it would be nice if somebody alerted the Cleveland Cavaliers that this game has already started, but apparently nobody wants to tell them. 25-3, the Celtics have boat raced the Cleveland Cavaliers, who just took a timeout and looked like a deer caught in the headlights, if we're being honest here. 25-3, 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. And boy, the Cavs have just gotten absolutely smoked. But the good thing about the NBA, it's a game of runs. The Cavs are far from it. In-game number, if I was a betting man and I was to look at the in-game number right now, I would say you could probably get the Cavs getting 11.5 points. Not a bad look right now for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Also, you have got the Denver Nuggets in a battle with Detroit, 49-46. That game is now a pick'em. 250.5 is that in-game total there. I would say that defense probably not happening a lot in this game with the Nuggets and the Pistons. So good opportunity to jump in there if you like on the over. We're getting ready, of course, for the New York Knicks taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. That game coming up here in just a couple of minutes. They'll have the tip in Memphis. Good news for the Knicks. Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson have been cleared. They will both start tonight for the New York Knicks. So a little different look here for the Knicks tonight, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. That number, by the way, down to 2.5 of the Memphis Grizzlies as the Nick money is flooding the market. And can I tell you, still don't like it. I still like Memphis. And I like Memphis even better at this price here. So a lot of great action still to come here tonight in the NBA, including the actual Miami Heat right now. They've been getting a lot of money. It does look like Bam Adebayo in, Andrew Wiggins out, but no TJ McConnell or Benedict Mathurin for the Indiana Pacers. So both teams nursing a little bit of injuries there. And Miami, much more desperate in this spot than Indiana. I thought they played a great game against Atlanta. I do think that they are very much alive as a home dog here tonight to get it done in that matchup. So we got a little something for everybody. And coming up, of course, the game of the night, UCLA getting ready in the Big Ten. And boy, does it feel weird still saying that. UCLA in the Big Ten getting ready to do battle against top 20 Purdue, number 20 Purdue, who feels like it's been a hot minute since they've last won a game, but they are really good at Mackey Arena. They are laying 6 now. I'm starting to see the total starting to drop a little bit. May not be a bad look there, but for such a short slate tonight in college basketball, we got some pretty good games happening. Also, the NHL in full effect here tonight. Don't forget that. 3 games on the slate, including the Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, knotted up at 1 apiece. We got Dallas and the Kings. That puck is dropping here in just a couple of minutes, just in time for In-Game Live. Coming up, Scotty Wetzel, Brady Cannon. We'll see you again in March as Game Time Decisions will roll on here on The Grid.